Chapter 7. Quinn. You know you're eventually going to have to make a move on him, right? Lou said with his elbows on the table and a cut of strip steak dangling from the end of his fork.
I do not know that, I protested. You don't expect him to do it, do you?
I'm not expecting anyone to do it. I'm not expecting anything.
Ah, Lamb Chop, sometimes you make me so sad.
There's nothing to feel sad about. Nothing's going on between us.
That's what makes me so sad. On one side, there's you, an obliviously scrumptious love nugget who can't seem to lose his virginity.
You're a virgin too, I quickly reminded him. He put a hand on his chest and gave me a sad look.
But for me, it's by choice. I'm saving myself for the right man.
You? You want to get rid of yours like it's the plague.
Yet, you're hooked on a guy who is clearly in love with you, but can't see past the sham relationship he's in. Tragic.
When I didn't respond, Lou said,
Not gonna say anything?
No, I think you said it all. And I am kinda sad.
Wait, I didn't say you were sad. You're great. You're hot and smart, and you come from a good family.
What does my family have to do with this?
Your marriage material. Some guy needs to put a ring on that.
Wow, that progressed quickly.
That's my point. You're moving too slow. Get on that man, preferably with him on his back and you riding him like a cowboy. Or are you a top? I can't tell with you. What is your preference? You like it Lone Ranger or side saddle?
Which one's which? I asked, confused.
Doesn't matter. You like it going or coming?
I don't know. Both, maybe? So, your verse?
I've seen you in the shower. That makes sense.
When did you see me in the shower?
When haven't I seen you in the shower?
That's not the point. Then, what is the point?
The point is that your verse and that man, Cage, is a definite top.
You think so?
I know these things, he said confidently.
But you've never had sex.
You don't have to have had sex to feel its energy. That boy has serious top energy. He's a quarterback for crying out loud. He's used to being in control, holding on to people's butts. It's quarterback stuff.
I see. And usually he would be the one to make the first move.
But in this case, you're gonna have to find your big dick energy and sack up.
Seriously, though, when did you see me in the shower?
This is you trying to change the topic so you don't have to think about moving things forward.
No, this is me wondering if I need to start locking the bathroom door.
Lou put his hand on his chest. I have so little. Do you really want to take that away from me too?
I stared at Lou, wondering if this was him teasing me again. It wasn't that I was shy about my body. Clothes were considered optional in my household growing up. But there were times when I thought about Cage in the shower. The thought of bending over and hiking that quarterback the ball usually made me have to take things into my own hands. And then again, once I was back in my room. God, did that man make me feel things. Mostly what he made me feel was thirsty. The human body only had so much fluid in it. And sore. My phone rang, stopping me from exploring the shower situation with Lou any further. Pulling out my phone, I was surprised to see Cage's name. I held up my finger, asking Lou to give me a moment. Cage, what's going on? You never call me. Lou reacted with childish delight. I ignored him. Do you think we could do our study session at my place tonight? Cage asked, sounding distressed. If the final exam wasn't tomorrow, I wouldn't ask, but... No, of course. Is there something going on with your father? Yeah. He's having one of his bad days, and I don't think I should leave him alone.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, I can come by. Just tell me when. The phone fell silent. Cage?
I'm here. Before you come, there's probably something you should know.
Okay.
We don't have much.
What do you mean?
I mean... I attend school on a scholarship, and my father isn't working right now. He hasn't worked in a while. Should I bring snacks or something?
I mean, if you want, but that's not what I'm trying to say. I just don't think you should expect much. I'm not... Just don't expect much.
Will you be there? I asked, clarifying.
Yeah, of course.
Then your place will have everything I need. Cage was again silent.
Cage?
I'm here. I'll text you my address. I would offer to pick you up, but... Don't worry about it. I'll do rideshare or something. It's kind of far. If you ever turn in your time card for all the tutoring you're doing, I'm sure the football program will reimburse you for it. Unless you're commuting every day from Florida, I'm sure I can handle it.
Okay. I'll see you soon then.
See ya.
I ended the call and stared at my phone.
Ooh, Lou said excitedly. Quinn and Cage sitting in a tree. K-I-S-S-I-N-G.
Shut up.
Lou stuck out his tongue, miming a French kiss. You're disgusting, I said with a smile.
I'm just proud my lamb chop is going to be getting some fixins.
You're ridiculous, I said, still staring down at my phone.
Okay, what's wrong?
Cage is embarrassed about me seeing his place.
I get that.
I looked up at Lou, surprised.
Why should he be embarrassed?
He shouldn't be embarrassed. Whatever he has made him who he is, and I like him. A lot.
Says the guy whose family is worth, like, $1 billion, and
have you shared that fact with him?
I didn't want to make it an issue. Besides, that's not my money. It's my parents' money.
No, you just have access to as much of it as you want, whenever you want.
Lou's words stung. He wasn't wrong. And as much as I would like to believe that it didn't shape me, it did. Just like how Cage grew up, it shaped him.
More important than your family's ungodly amount of wealth, have you told Cage about the other thing? Because to me, that feels a slight bit more important than being able to charge an airplane to your credit card.
It hasn't come up yet, I admitted, knowing Lou was right.
Then maybe you should get on that, because he needs to know who he's getting involved with. You know, if he ever grows a pair and asks you out, or you ask him out. You know that's an option, right?
He has a girlfriend.
From what you've told me, I need to ask.
Does he?
He does.
Lou leaned back and crossed his arms.
Okay.
But you're right. He might need to know.
That's my lamb chop,
Lou said with a sober smile. Cage wasn't exaggerating when he said he lived far away. For him to make a 7 a.m. practice, he would have to leave his house at 6 a.m. and get up at 5:30 at the latest. The amount of devotion it would take to do that every day for years, if not his entire life, was impressive. And the closer I got to his place, the more nervous I got. Whatever it was that he was embarrassed about, I was sure I would be able to accept. But what I had to tell him could easily be too much for him. Telling him might be the end of what we have going on. Whatever that is. Tonight could be the last night that he looked at me like I was the only person in the world. That would hurt. By the time the car pulled up in front of Cage's place, I was nearing a panic attack. Everything surrounding me was too much to ask someone to be around. Cage had his whole life ahead of him. He was going to be a famous football player with millions of fans. I would be an anchor around his neck. It wouldn't even be fair to ask him to deal with my stuff. He had his own stuff going on. Add to that whatever he was dealing with his dad, and my stuff was starting to feel like something best kept to myself. Cage stepped out the front door before I could call him, letting him know I was here. Adding a healthy tip for the driver, I got out and approached him. He wore a plaid shirt, shorts, and he was barefoot. I had never seen his feet before. I didn't have a foot fetish, but his were wide and strong-looking.
It made me think of other parts of him that I did have a thing for. But I quickly pushed aside the thought, knowing that I didn't want to meet his father for the first time with a huge bulge in my pants.
"You made it," Cage said uncomfortably. "Did you have any problems finding the place?"
"No, it was pretty easy."
"It was far, right?"
"You don't live close to campus. Did you grow up out here?" I asked, looking around at the thick woods surrounding the cabin.
"From as early as I can remember. You said you grew up in New York, right?"
"Manhattan," I clarified.
"Right. So this place must be
where Bigfoot lives?" "Pretty much."
Cage laughed, seeming relaxed for the first time.
"Well, Bigfoot actually lives a few miles from here, so you're not far off. Great guy, by the way. You don't even notice the fur once you've talked to him for a while."
I laughed, and I liked that we were both comfortable.
"Let's go inside. We have a lot of stuff to cover," Cage said, leading me in.
With the door closed, I looked around at the space. I didn't know what to expect after Cage's warning. It was certainly nicer than I was picturing. As a kid, I'd spent a lot of time in the Bahamas. Both of my dads had places there, and we often ate at neighbors' homes. This cabin was much nicer than any of them. Of course, I couldn't tell Cage that his place was nicer than the places in the Bahamas where we had our winter homes. I don't think he would take that how I would intend it. So, instead, I said, "It must have been cool growing up here. It was okay, if not a little isolating."
"I know what you mean. One of my dads owns an island with the only house on it. So replace the trees surrounding this place with water and the birds for sharks, and you have every one of my summers since I was 3.
I said with a smile.
"Did you say that your father owns an island?"
I froze, realizing what I had said. Not only was Cage looking at me like I was a freak, someone on the couch in front of us turned around and stared at me. Cage followed my gaze.
"Dad, this is Quinn. He's my..."
Cage paused, making me more than anxious to hear how he was going to describe me.
"He's my good friend. He's helping me pass the class I was telling you about."
"It's good to meet you, sir," I said to the redheaded man.
Cage's father looked me over, grunted, and then returned to watching TV.
"We should go to my room," Cage told me.
"It was good meeting you, sir,"
I said, getting nothing in reply. Entering Cage's bedroom, he closed the door behind us.
"You have to excuse my dad. He's having an off day."
"You seem fine to me."
"Well, fine is relative. We can sit on the bed."
I took off my shoes, emptied the contents of my backpack into the center of the bed, and sat cross-legged. Cage joined me, searching my eyes.
"What? Are you expecting me to forget that you just said that your father owns an island?"
"Oh, that.
Yeah, that. It's small. Everyone in the Bahamas owns an island."
"Everyone in the Bahamas owns an island?" Cage asked, shocked.
"Okay, that's not true. I don't know why I just said that. Actually, that's not true either. I do know why I said it. It was because I don't want you to think we're that different."
"We are that different," Cage said matter-of-factly. "But that's okay. I like our differences. I just hope you aren't too disappointed by mine."
"I literally don't know what you're talking about. You are the most normal person I know. Of course, the only other person I know here is Lou, so that's not saying much."
Cage laughed. "So it's a low bar. You just have to be able to deal with me, and you've surpassed 99% of the population."
Cage laughed.
"Come on, you're not that bad. Maybe 95% of the population," he teased.
"You're right. Thinking about it now, it's 95%. I stand corrected."
Cage laughed again. God, did I love hearing him laugh.
"You know, you do that a lot," Cage said with a smile.
"What?
Put yourself down?"
"Do I?"
"Yeah.
I didn't realize I was doing it."
"You do. You should be nicer to my friend. He's a great guy."
Cage said playfully. Great is a relative term.
There you go again.
Take the compliment. It's easier said than done. What if I said you were the most amazing guy I've ever met, and that every time I was with you, I wished the time would never end?
Cage froze.
Not so easy to take a compliment now, is it?
Do you really feel like that?
Oh, that was kind of a lot, wasn't it?
No, seriously. Do you feel like that?
Does it matter? You have a girlfriend.
What does it matter if I have a girlfriend?
It matters because if I did think that, it would be because I wanted more to happen between us than was possible.
What if it was possible?
What do you mean?
I mean, what if I didn't have a girlfriend?
I looked into Cage's beautiful, soul-crackling eyes. He was serious. He was considering breaking up with his girlfriend for me.
There are things about me you don't know, I said, unable to stop myself.
What, that you're more adorable than I already think you are?
No, stop. There are things I need to tell you before you do, or say, anything that we won't be able to come back from.
Oh, you're serious?
I am.
Cage shifted uncomfortably.
Okay. What's up?
My heart pounded.
Where do I begin?
Okay. I mentioned my father has an island.
I remember something about that, yes.
It was 10 minutes ago. I hope you do. Cage chuckled.
Yes, I remember.
Well, he owns an island because he is very rich.
Like, how rich?
Like, he owns an island rich.
Cage laughed.
Got it.
And you grew up very rich?
Yes.
I figured. Is that what you were scared to tell me? That you grew up with your own island?
Not even close.
Cage leaned back, startled. Okay.
I touched my brow, wondering if I was sweating. I was starting to.
Here's the thing. I grew up with two dads.
So your parents are gay?
Big deal.
Actually, they're not. And neither is my mom.
Oh, so your family's polyamorous?
Yes. And my dads are bisexual.
That's cool.
Is it?
I asked, surprised.
Yeah. Are you polyamorous?
I don't think so. I think I'm looking for one person.
I feel that way too. I mean, if the person I cared about needed that, I would consider it. But if I had a choice, I would choose to be with one person, he said with a smile.
Okay, that's great. But
there's a but?
I searched for the words.
I'm kind of the poster child for a polyamorous relationship, specifically one with two men and a woman.
How are you the poster child for that?
Because, do you know how they discovered a way for two men to have a baby with a woman?
I mean, I heard something about that, but I assumed it wasn't real, Cage explained.
You thought it wasn't real? I asked, stunned.
Yeah.
Why?
Is it?
I stared at Cage, shocked. He had heard about it and had dismissed it as being made up. That meant we could have gone a long time without having to talk about it. Caught in the storm that was my life, I had never imagined that there were people who simply didn't believe it.
Wait, are you saying that science has figured out how two men could have a baby together?
A woman is necessary for the procedure, but yeah, they know how.
How do you know this?
I touched my brow with my heart slamming against my chest.
Because my family knows the doctor who created the procedure.
Your family knows the doctor?
Yeah.
That's amazing. How does your family know the doctor?
Because, I swallowed. They met him when he performed the procedure on my parents.
Wait, you?
Yeah. I was the first.
You were the first child ever born from two men having a baby? A woman is part of the procedure, but
yes.
And I'm kind of famous for it. My face has been on the cover of pretty much every magazine that exists. I came to East Tennessee because I was hoping that the paparazzi wouldn't be able to find me here. So far, it's worked. But it's just a matter of time before my whereabouts get out.
That's unbelievable.
If you find that hard to believe, buckle up, because there's more.
Okay,
he said, with his mouth now permanently hanging open. The procedure has a side effect.
Oh?
He said, looking concerned. It's not necessarily bad, I quickly told him, though it can be sometimes.
What's the side effect?
The kids that come from the procedure are all really smart.
How smart?
Really smart.
How smart are we talking? We talking build a time machine smart?
No, but I guess one of the kids is building a quantum tunneling device, which is technically a time machine, but you have to be the size of a quantum particle to ride it, I joked.
Cage didn't laugh.
But that's her, and quantum physics isn't my specialty.
Then what is?
I can make connections that other people might miss.
What do you mean?
I mean, I can make observations.
Like what?
Cage asked skeptically. He wasn't believing me.
Like, I know you're adopted.
What? Cage said, stunned.
I had him.
Yeah, and it wasn't the red hair either. Redheaded parents have children with black hair all the time. It's the dimples.
What do you mean?
Cage asked, captivated. Dimples are a genetic trait, meaning that it has to be passed down from your parents. But they aren't a collective group, meaning having a chin dimple doesn't make you more likely to have a cheek dimple. That means that you would have had to inherit each dimple separately, and the ones you have on either side of your bottom lip are called fovea inferior anguli oris, and are very rare. The odds of you inheriting all of your dimples from one parent is very low. I'm talking extremely low. For your dad not to have any dimples at all, and for you to have so many, every member of his family would have had to have dimples going back for generations. And since that is even less likely, the obvious answer is most likely the correct one. That is, that you're adopted. I could not have been more proud of myself for making these observations. Would anyone else have noticed something so easy to miss? Even if they noticed, would they be able to put everything together like I had? I don't think so. For me to be able to do it on demand for Cage had to have impressed him. I wanted so badly to impress Cage. I wanted him to think I was special in a good way. I desperately wanted him to see that my difference could be useful and something he would want in his life. I would do anything for him not to see me like the freak everyone else did. As I stared at Cage, a lot changed on his face. The look of amazement he appeared to have as I explained my theory morphed into something else. He wasn't happy. It looked like he was battling with something, and before the words left his mouth, I knew I had made a mistake.
I'm not adopted, Cage said firmly.
He didn't know.
Shit.
You're right.
What?
He asked, confused.
I'm mistaken.
What do you mean you're mistaken? I was thinking of, what was it again? My mind swirled, trying to come up with something he would believe and that wouldn't make me seem like a complete asshole. Butt dimples.
What?
I was thinking about butt dimples. You know, the indent people sometimes have in the butt cheek? That requires both parents to have it. Cage looked at me confused.
So, you said all of that, and what you meant was butt dimples.
Yes.
I said, wanting him to believe me.
I don't have butt dimples.
Oh, then I guess none of what I said applies.
Is anything you just told me true? I mean, about you being the first child born that way and the whole genius thing?
As relieved as I was that he seemed willing to let my adoption theory go, I again felt the weight of having revealed myself to him.
You can look it up, I confirmed.
Cage looked at me, not knowing what to think. Slowly pulling out his phone, he typed in my name.
What's your last name?
Toro. Quinn Toro, I said, feeling a sharp pain in my chest.
Cage's face shifted as the results came up. He was overwhelmed by it all. He silently searched page after page, scanning articles before going to the next one.
It's true. You're a genius.
And a freak, I added.
No. You're amazing, Cage said, looking up at me in awe. A warm wave washed through me. I could have cried. It took everything in me not to. I came with so much baggage, yet he didn't seem to care. More than that, he saw them as something positive. I never felt more in love with someone in my life.
Why didn't you mention any of this before? If I had what you have, it would be the first thing I told people.
It wouldn't be.
Oh, I think it would be,
he said, offering me his first smile in what felt like forever. I was getting addicted to them.
It wouldn't be, I said, unable to hide my sadness on the topic.
But thank you for saying that. Maybe we should get to work?
Oh, right. We have an exam tomorrow.
Cage paused, staring at me.
Do you have the entire textbook memorized?
That's not the way it works. At least, not for me. I have to study like you do. It just comes easier.
Oh, okay.
Cage said, turning his attention to the books in the bed between us. Filling him in on the last of what he missed before he joined the class, I found it hard to stay focused. Every so often he would look up at me. When he did, he would give me a smile that would melt my heart. I pushed through because Cage needed to understand the material for the exam, but it was hard not to melt in his gaze. I never wanted to be apart from him again, knowing I couldn't have that rip my heart out.
That's all of it. I think you have it,
I told him when he repeated the last of it back to me without having to refer to the textbook.
I think I do, he said proudly. That took a while.
Did it? I asked, pulling out my phone.
It's 1:30.
Time flies when you're having fun, he said, looking as charming as sin.
Do rideshares still run at this hour?
They do in the city, but you're not going to be able to get one to come out here.
A taxi, maybe?
You could stay over. I have practice before class tomorrow. I could get you back early.
Stay over? I said, feeling my heart race. I guess I could sleep on the couch.
You're not gonna sleep on the couch. Besides, my dad probably fell asleep out there.
Then the floor?
I'm not letting you sleep on the floor. You're only here this late because you were helping me pass my class. If anything, that's where I'm sleeping.
I can't let you sleep on the floor. It wouldn't be good for your back.
How is your back, by the way? I asked, remembering him having an issue with it the night I started tutoring him.
My back?
Yeah. Remember at my room?
Oh, yeah. No, it's, a little stiff, but not as bad as it was. It was probably just all of the tension that night.
You were nervous about not being able to play next season?
Something like that.
So if neither of us is going to sleep on the floor, where are we going to sleep? I asked, hoping I knew what he was going to say.
We could share the bed.
Are you sure that's a good idea?
Why wouldn't it be? We're just going to be sleeping.
Or not sleeping, considering how hard my heart was beating just thinking about it.
I guess. Okay.
Okay, he said confidently. We cleared off the bed and stared at each other. Would you like something to change into? You probably don't want to sleep in your jeans. I'm fine, I told him, nervous as all hell. You sure? Because I'm gonna get comfortable, he said before taking off his shirt. See? I definitely saw. The man was a god. His muscular arms, rippling chest, everything about him sent tingles through me that landed between my legs. Come on, you can get comfortable, he said with a smile. I badly wanted to get naked with him. It was the beginning of every one of my fantasies. I didn't know if I should, but I couldn't resist anymore. Okay, I said, slowly pulling off my shirt. Whoa, Cage said once my shirt was in my hand. What? You are in surprisingly good shape. Genetics, I admitted, feeling self-conscious. Nice. So, are you gonna sleep in your jeans? Are you? No, he said, not making a move to take his pants off. I stared at him, waiting. Was he actually going to do it? If he did, maybe I would too. What was he waiting for? When he finally reached for the button on his pants, my dick grew hard. Without a shirt, there was nothing to hide my bulge. What was I supposed to do? He wasn't looking at me as he pulled down his pants. As he stepped out of them and pushed them aside, he didn't look up. I wondered why until I saw the outline of his large dick stretched across his boxer briefs. Cage was hard. Very hard. At least, I hoped he was because he was already humongous. I couldn't believe what was happening. Were we just getting comfortable for bed, or was something else going on? I drank in all of him, making my hard cock flinch. When he finally met my gaze without looking down, he said, "What about you?" My cock flinched again. There was no way I was going to be able to hide my arousal, even if I wanted to. Did I want to hide it? I don't think I did. I wanted him to see all of me. I wanted to see all of him. And with his eyes still locked on mine, I lowered my pants, standing in front of him in just my underwear. Cage did nothing but stare into my eyes until, for a brief moment, he blinked down to see me. It made him smile. Should we get into bed? He asked me. Okay, I told him, unsure what was going to happen next. The two of us climbed into bed and under the sheets. We both laid on our backs, staring at the ceiling. I should get the lights, Cage said to me. I guess, I told him, barely able to hear him over the sound of my heartbeats. Cage got out of bed again, flicked the light switch next to the door, and returned to bed in the dark. It took a while for my eyes to adjust to the darkness, but it was a moonlit night. Still not sure what was happening, I stayed on my back, not looking at him. At no point did he move. Had he already fallen asleep? Could anyone fall asleep so quickly? With the deafening silence enveloping us, I couldn't take it anymore. Cage was so close that it was torture not to touch him. I had to at least see the beautiful body whose heat consumed me. So, moving like it was the most natural thing in the world, I rolled over, settling on my side. Buried in the shadows, I opened my eyes. He was on his side facing me. His eyes were closed. Maybe he was asleep. If he was, it meant that I could look at him unhindered. I could examine every contour of his angular, masculine face. Cage was the most gorgeous man I had ever seen. His wavy hair that lay gently across his forehead. His broad shoulders that sat uncovered. His lightly hairy chest. I desperately wanted to touch him. To feel the heat of his skin next to mine would be enough to live the rest of my life on. Needing to be closer to him, I moved my hand onto the bed between us. I was less than a foot away from his sleeping body and didn't dare to get any closer. I wanted to. God, did I want to. But I knew I couldn't, until, as if sensing me there, Cage moved his hand between us, an inch away from mine. I could feel the heat of him on me. I could barely breathe. Parting my lips as my heart thumped, I couldn't stand it. I needed to be closer. Being apart from him hurt too much. Moving my fingers slowly, I stretched them out. They weren't long enough. He was right there. I could practically feel them. I would need to move my entire hand if I wanted his touch. Could I do that, though? Should I do it? My debate didn't matter because, as if he needed it too, his strong hand crossed to mine and moved on top of it. It was him who had done it. It could have been the reflex actions of someone asleep, but I didn't think it was. He wanted to hold my hand, and I wanted to hold his. So, shifting my fingers delicately, I allowed his fingers to fall between mine. When they did, I moved mine so that they touched his. It was everything I had hoped it would be. I tried to breathe without making a sound, but it was the most erotic moment of my life. His touch was a swirling wind that encircled my warm, naked body. I was in love with Cage. I could no longer deny it. And touching him in the moonlight, there was nowhere else in the world I would rather be. I wanted this moment to last forever. It lasted for hours, but eventually, my exhausted heart slowed down, and I fell asleep.